For those who maybe can't quite read it quite so far away, the little cartoon there, the two gentlemen at the door are asking, "Have you found Jesus?" Now, have a good close look at the cartoon. There's a wee hidden hint in there. See a smile on your face when you've figured it out. There's a few sniggers, so maybe people have got it. Have a look at the curtain in particular. The chaps at the door are asking, "Have you found Jesus?" And then there's Jesus hiding behind the curtain in the person's lounge, as if Jesus is playing some big game of hide and seek. We're in this season where we think about sharing our faith, how we might go and make disciples. And things like this, well, puts joy in my heart because it helps us to laugh just a wee bit and perhaps laugh at ourselves as well, the way in which we launch into conversations with people. "Have you found Jesus?" "Oh, I didn't know I was looking for him. Is he playing some game of hide and seek? Could he be here? Is he hiding behind the curtain?" Now, we can look at it with a tongue-in-cheek manner, but yet here in this passage that we've just been reading from, we're reminded that actually we're called to share. To share our faith and to make the most of every opportunity. Here's what it says towards the end of that passage. "Be wise in the way in which you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." Paul's been talking about sharing the faith, about how he wants to share the news about Jesus. And here he says to those believers, make the most. Make the most of every opportunity. Think for a moment about the following question. Are you good at sharing your faith? Are you good at sharing your faith with other people? There's probably a few responses that could happen. There could be people that go, "Oh yes, I'm really good. I've got it sussed. Let me tell you my secret, my clue, the way in which I do, the way in which I share faith." Now that's one way you could respond, and if that is how you've responded, come and catch me after. I think we need to have words. Or perhaps you're thinking, "No, not me. I'm really not good at sharing my faith. In fact, I'll leave that to the other people, the people like Paul, or the people for whom it's their job to go out there and share their faith. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Go out there and just chat. No, not me. Definitely not me." Let's park that question for a moment and I'll ask you the second question that I've got. Are you good at just chatting to folk? Are you good at just speaking away? Whether it's friends and family, whether it's someone you meet on the train or the bus or whatever else, are you good at just chatting to folk? Maybe if there's folks here from your family, they might be thinking they're too good at chatting to folk. Everywhere we go, they seem to stop and chat to someone. We never get going. Are you good at just chatting to folk? Because here with this, we're talking about opportunities. Opportunities to just share, to just speak, just to be who we are and chat with people, to make friends. Before we get to the stage of making disciples, just to make friends, to chat with people. Can I share an example from my own experience where actually it kind of went a bit wrong, where folks didn't quite get the idea of just chatting with people in the first instance? It's a scenario not too dissimilar to the two folks chatting on the door asking, "Have you found Jesus?" There were some guys from the Mormon church who came around and they wanted to speak to me about spiritual matters. Now, please be clear, I'm not laying into folks of other religions, and likewise, I'm not saying that we should trivialise our theological differences. But imagine just for a moment that scenario that perhaps you find yourself in before, where someone is at the door and they want to talk about theological matters. Now, I'm a bit of a rare breed because I quite enjoy talking about theological matters, but I recognise that actually it's important to just talk about the everyday stuff, the things that go on in our life. So before we got to talking about theological matters, I was trying my hardest with these two young guys at the door to be as polite and welcoming as possible. And so I was asking them where they're from and what they're about and all the rest. I was asking them where they stayed. Now it transpired that one of the young guys had actually lived in Edinburgh for a while. He was from across the pond, but he lived in Edinburgh for a few months. Now, being from Edinburgh myself, I thought, great, here's an opportunity to ask and to get to know a bit more about the guy. So I posed the following question to him. I says, well, when you were in Edinburgh, which football team did you support? And I gave him the caveat that he had a 50-50 chance of getting that answer wrong. Now, for those that don't know, there's two teams in Edinburgh, there's Hearts and there's Hibs. And I would hope that if you'd spent any time living in Edinburgh, you would at least know one of them. The guy said, oh, I didn't really follow the football. I thought, well, that's fair enough. I'm not a big football fan myself, but I know that it's something that's good to chat about. So we got chatting a wee bit more, and I said, well, where did you stay when you lived in Edinburgh? He goes, oh, what was the name of the street? It was Easter Road I stayed on. Now, if you're not understanding why there's folks near you that are chortling, Easter Road is the home of the Hibernian Stadium in Edinburgh. So to live in a city where you're seeking to talk to people about your religion and not be able to converse about basic matters such as, well, what football teams are around and what you want to chat about, it seems like a wee bit of a blunder. And yet there's a temptation for us to do likewise ourselves, is there not? Jump in straight with theology, talking about all those things, but actually, the importance is that actually we just chat with folk. You want to talk about the weather? I will talk about the weather. You want to talk about football teams? I will talk about football teams. Because in these things, we get a chance to make friends, to get to know people, to chat away. And then out of that, there's these opportunities. Make the most of every opportunity. And in that, we start to be able to chat about what's important to us, the faith that we have, the news that Jesus has changed our lives, and that it can change the lives of others as well. So, perhaps we need to be a bit practical about this. Think about these opportunities that we could create, ways in which we could share our faith, ways in which perhaps we could start to get into that conversation frame where we can talk about our faith. Perhaps we could get Linda to put something in the bulletin every week. Here's a way in which you could share your faith, and we could look it up and go, oh, that's a great idea, I'll put that in my pocket and remember it for later. Maybe we could go down the line of having a Pinterest page. I don't know if anyone's on Pinterest, but it's a website where you can put lots of good ideas, maybe things for a wedding that you might be planning, or an event or something else. You see things that other people have done and you put it on your page. Maybe we could have a church page for ways to share your faith. You think, great, I will use that, I'll click on it, I'll get lots of great ideas. At the Kirk session on Wednesday night, we had a training video. It's called a webinar. It sounds awful fancy. We had a webinar all about data protection. Maybe we could have a webinar about sharing our faith and all the rest. We could tune in and watch that and get lots of practical ideas. Meanwhile, all those who are thinking of, who are there on Wednesday night will go, please no, not another video to watch. It was so long. There's lots of different things we could do. We could put ourselves in practice scenarios about sharing our faith and all the rest. Now, to an extent, these are all good things. As we think about ways in which we can come alongside people, we can share, and we can chat. They're useful, but they overlook a key factor. The notion of sharing our faith, talking with other people about the love of Jesus, it's a spiritual discipline. It comes out of us walking with God ourselves and therefore wanting to share about Him and to help others find out for themselves the relevance of knowing Jesus. It's a spiritual discipline. Here's where we're going this morning. We're going to think a little bit about sandwiches. Now, we've got the church picnic coming up next week, so here's another wee plug for it. But this morning we're going to think about sandwiches, but more so in the spiritual sense, as opposed to any burgers that we'll be having later on. The top, the first piece of bread, here's what I'm going to talk about. That we know what God has done in our lives. That's important. That we know where we've come from, what God has done in our lives. In the middle, there was meant to be a wee bit around that, but I must have got a bit wrong. But here's your filling. It's that making the most of every opportunity. Being ready to share in the practical sense as we think about sharing our faith. But then, sandwiching that together, our next piece of bread is to say this. We need to know what God is doing in our lives. It continues to be a spiritual discipline as we think about the way in which God continues to speak to us, challenge us about different things, make us scratch our head and think. So we're going to think about our faith, firstly, for ourselves, but then how we share that in some of the practical sense. So firstly, it's important that we know what God has done in our lives. It's important to be able to look back. Here's the context and the frame for what's going on as Paul writes to these Colossians. He's saying this to them, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Paul is talking about a message that he wants to share. A message that he wants to put out there. He's asking them to partner by way of prayer with what he is doing in sharing the message. What we need to remind ourselves is that this is a message that is also being shared with us. For those in Colossae, they were able to look back at what God had done for them. Imagine the scenario that you go down to the harbour for a nice walk. Perhaps it was a day like we had earlier on this week. Imagine you were to walk all the way out to Elliot and to keep on going. Now, because of the curve of it all, as far as you go along, you can see back, provided your eyesight's quite good and it's nice and clear, you can see back to the harbour. You can see where you've come from. You can see where you set out from. Likewise, if you were to wander up a hill, you get to the point where you stop and you have your sandwiches and your Mars bar and all the rest. You sit down and you look back at where you've come from. You look at the distance travelled. Now, when you do something like that, it makes you feel quite good. Just think, wow, I've come all that distance. But so too in the spiritual sense. Because what is important is this, that we look back and remind ourselves what God has done in us. Here's how Paul started his letter to the Colossians. This is a wee chunk from chapter 1. It says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The gospel is bearing fruit among you, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood. Here's where things kicked off for those in Colossae. And so too with us, just like looking back to the harbour, we can look back and remember that God has transformed our lives. God has brought about a change and a challenge in our lives. When we heard, when we understood who Jesus is, when we understood his call upon our lives. As we're called to partner in prayer, as Paul talks about sharing this faith, we need to remember that we too have been transformed. That this is a message that changes lives. And just as looking back to the harbour or back down the hill might be obscured by mist or whatever else, sometimes we do easily forget where we've come from. Sometimes we do get so used to being church and all the things that come along with that that we forget. I think this morning we need a reminder that God has transformed our lives. And perhaps this morning, it's a long time since you've known of that transformation, or if you've never known of it, let me say this. God changes lives. God sent his Son for us. We need to remember that transformation. Because out of that, we think, hang on a minute, I want to tell other people about this. I want to share this message that so changed me with the people that I meet, the people that I share with. And so we get down to some of the practicalities, the nitty-gritty of it, some of the ways in which actually practically we can talk about sharing our faith. And the first thing that we can kick off with is just being ready to speak to people. Ready to chat in lots of different environments and lots of different places. Whether it's weather, football, when you're going on your holidays, have you been on your holidays, you've got a nice time, whatever it is. Being ready to just chat to people, because out of that there is the integrity to share. Here's a wee quote from a guy called Ben Witherington III. Now, just as an aside, how awesome would it be to have a name, Witherington III? I think it's just got a nice ring to it. He writes lots of theological books and all the rest. But anyway, I like the ring of his name. But here's what he says. Verse 6, and I'll just read that for you before we go to it. Verse 6 says, "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Verse 6 makes clear that Christians must engage in friendly conversation with non-believers and must be prepared to know how to respond to each and every outsider, regardless of their remarks or questions. Engage in friendly conversation. Not telling people what we believe in a way that puts up walls and barriers, but being ready to listen, to chat, to hear what makes people tick, and all the rest. We need to be ready to speak. Well, if we need to be ready to speak, there's another practicality that flows out of that. We need to be where the people are. Where are they? Where are the people with which we chat? Is it out there? Well, yes. Whether it's the groups that we go to, joining a photography club, a knitting group, whatever else. We need to be where people are so that actually we get the opportunity to chat, to share, to get to know them, so that they might come and ask us questions when the timing is right. In many ways, we live in a disconnected world, and we see that in different aspects. But how great is it when actually we can go and make the connections, chat to people, sharing with them. Verse 6 tells us that we're to be wise. One translation actually says that we're to walk in wisdom. Well, here's another really important practicality. We need to have a good sense of integrity in the way in which we share our faith, the way in which we conduct ourselves. We need to be authentic. And do you know what that means? That means even when actually we've got it wrong, when we've been anything but authentic, when we've displayed our faith in an unworthy way, when we've said hurtful words or whatever else, actually being authentic is putting your hand up and saying, "I'm sorry, I got that wrong." We need to be authentic, be wise in the way in which we conduct ourselves in our faith. And then, right at the end of verse 6, there's that hint for Martin as to how to play guess who. It says we have to know how to give answers. Not know how to give unconnected statements. Not know how to summarize the gospel in 5 short sentences in under a minute so you get it across and all the rest. None of that. So that you know how to give answers. I remember when I was at college studying landscaping, I worked with a bunch of guys and they had lots of questions. I worked with a landscaping firm and they had lots and lots of questions. Most of them were banal and bizarre. Most of them would actually be kind of jab me in the ribs and give me a hard time and all the rest. But in those questions were some of the truest things of all. People turn around to me and say, "So you really believe all that stuff? That's really what you're about?" Well, yes. We need to be ready to give the answers. Not the answers at the back of the book. Not the cover-all answers, but the answers about what God is doing in our life, and just being able to talk about that in a relaxed way. Here's a wee practical tip as well. Don't worry if you don't have the answer. That's not a sign of weakness. Often people will launch in, "Here you're a Christian," or "Here you're associated with church," they'll launch in with something but what about this guy? What about this Dawkins chap and all that he said? Or whoever else is current and on trend for taking a pick at the church? Now the temptation might be able to go, I'll launch him with a conversation, and you start answering the question without a clue as to where you're going, and you're halfway into your sentence and thinking, what am I even trying to say? Answering someone's question can be as simple as saying, I don't know. Someone saying, what do you think about this? What about this issue? What about that issue? Sometimes you just say, I don't know. Or you say, I don't know what I think about that, but you know what? It's alright if I go away and I have a think about it. Maybe I'll do some reading in the Bible. Maybe I'll chat to my minister. And can I get back to you? That is an answer. In fact, that's a very good answer, because often people just want to make us squirm and give us tough questions and all the rest. When we talk about practicalities and the sandwich of it and all the rest, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. Or, to put it this way, I don't know yet. And there's a hint as to where I want to go next. Just briefly to consider that actually, as people who want to share our faith, we need to continue to think about how God might be speaking to us. Continue to be listening to what God is saying as we share in this context, as we read God's word, and as we pray. We need to be people who are continuing to listen. Now, in the recent election, the press just loved it, did they not, when a politician would trip up and show that actually they didn't know something. For example, when Ed Miliband missed out an important bit on the budget in his speech, the press loved it. They loved to point that out. He didn't know something. Or perhaps when they forget a key figure in the party or whatever else. They love it when there's something that they don't know. When we come back to that being honest bit, there's something quite refreshing, is there not? And actually, we just display that we're listening. For people who listen to people's questions, but also to what God is saying in our lives. You see, people don't want a rehearsed answer, something that you've rattled off through and through and practiced in your bedroom or whatever else. People want to hear what's going on in your life. And so for that, we need to be people who are rooted in God. We are continuing to be disciples, continuing to listen to what God is doing in our lives. Here's something that Paul said to those. Paul said later on in his letter, well, before we get to the chapter that we're at now, in chapter 2 it says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Just as you received, continue. We need to be people who continue to listen to what God is doing in our lives. And to do that, we need to get serious about our faith. We need to get serious about sometimes thinking about the hard topics that people might ask us about. We need to get serious about picking up God's word and listening as we read it. To get serious about prayer. We need to get serious about encouraging and blessing. Be encouraged about blessing one another, encouraging each other as we share together. This whole discipling thing is important because it's where we listen to what God is doing in our lives. As we think about making disciples and all the rest, as we think about reaching out, perhaps there's a challenge to us. Are we ready and are we longing to see God change people's lives? Are we ready to see hearts changed, lives changed, nations changed? It's not about winning arguments. It's not about getting over our point of view or whatever else. It's about helping people to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Are we ready to just go out there and be God's people, ready with every opportunity that comes our way to share, to give answers, to respond to questions about Jesus Christ, our Lord? Let's pray.